KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's 42 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly cloudy, mostly sunny, that is, today, and a high of 79. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In local news, the Atlantic City Council acted on a number of matters during their meeting Wednesday evening. They approved an order to refer a proposal to vacate an obsolete right-of-way on East 9th Street to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The commission on October 13th will review the proposal and forward its recommendation back to the City Council. The Council held, will hold a public hearing and three readings of the ordinance before it becomes official. The Council approved an amended City Attorney retainer agreement with Otto, Lawrence, and Wiederstein, PLLC, for the services of Blake Miller, who works with a law firm out of Harlan. He'll replace Audubon County Attorney Sarah Jennings, who represented Atlantic during matters that may have caused a conflict of interest with our city attorney, Dave Wiederstein, and Miller will do the same. The council held and passed the second reading of an ordinance vacating a city right-of-way between Hemlock and Sycamore Streets, south of 18th Street, and to include a phantom alley. And they passed by a vote of 5-1 the first reading of an ordinance that amends the city's code of ordinances with regard to stop required at the intersection of 22nd and Olive Streets. The nay vote came from Councilman Dick Cassidy. Councilperson Kathy Summers was absent from the proceedings last night. The city's Community Protection Committee, or CPC, had unanimously recommended the current two-way stop at the intersection be expanded to a four-way, and they recommend making the intersection of 32nd Street and Chestnut a three-way stop to slow the traffic flow in that area. During the public comment period of the Atlantic City Council meeting last night, resident Dale Ritalik said that he and most of the residents in the area of 22nd and Olive oppose a four-way stop for a number of reasons.
South of Olive Street, of all the neighbors I've talked to, I found one that was in favor of it, and he probably had a reason to be in favor of it, because his driveway is halfway up the hill, and he was having some problems with fear of getting out on the street, and he's got a young man that's going to be driving soon, so I would probably be a little leery of it too.
Among the issues Ritalik cited are speeders. The speed limit along that stretch of road is 35 miles per hour. Ritalik says that's not stopping motorists from speeding, and the city needs to hand out more tickets, which hopefully will get the point across in traffic to slow down.
If you insist on putting a stop sign at the bottom of 22nd Street, you better be planning on repaving Olive Street, because that is merely seal-coated from 22nd Street out. It's not a paved road, never been a paved road. The thickest pavement out there is where they've done patchwork. But when you try to get some heavy trucks to stop on that hill, they are going to absolutely tear it up.
In other business, a resolution adopting a policy on limiting street closures for certain events failed by a vote of 5-1. The CPC had recommended approval of the resolution, which would say that street closure requests shall be granted no more than twice per year per individual or business, and that such closures be made for a good cause. But events sponsored directly by the city or the Chamber of Commerce would be exempt. The majority of the council felt it was not in the best interest of the city to prevent bringing business and visitors to town through the limited use of street or alley closures. Councilman Pat McCurdy and Gerald Brink expressed opposing views.
Okay. I think anything that makes business, people come to town, if it makes sense, I support it. So I'm definitely not for this. I think it should be on each case individually, each time.
Don't you think twice a year is enough?
No. Sometimes maybe it'll be once a year, maybe it'll be three times a year. No, I totally disagree. Okay. To bring these people to town, that's where I'm at. Of course, I think too much business-wise, but I totally think it should
be. Well, so do I, too, but I think that thing can be abused.
Not that restrictive just twice a year. That's where I'm at.
Police Chief Dave Erickson said there have been no problems associated with the temporary closure of certain streets or alleys associated with special events. And the council agreed it would be best to continue each request on a case-by-case basis. The council also accepted the tax sale certificates for 301 Maple Street and 101 Cedar Street and approved a change order for the downtown revitalization project. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday learned that a promotional marketing video was being created aimed at drawing young professionals and other employees to the city. Atlantic Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Bailey Smith, CADCO Executive Director Jennifer McIntaver, and SWPCO Community Development Director Alexis Fleener got together with Atlantic Development, a local investment group, to discuss and find ways to address the issues of population decline, housing properties for sale, and so on. Smith said that one of the group's ideas was to market Atlantic on a much wider basis than before.
Some individuals donated money for the project, as well as CPC. And so we worked with a company out of Des Moines called 515 Production, and they were in town yesterday. We took them everywhere. They filmed a lot of drone footage of the community and all of our amenities and neighborhoods, some businesses. But we really wanted to focus on the people of Atlantic and kind of really play on a lot of major corporate offices have permanently shut down because they've created all of this infrastructure to work from home. So showing people that they can keep their corporate job, move to a small town, have a lower cost of living, safer community, raise your kids.
McIntyre said the video will also focus on the community being family friendly.
A lot of kids in the video, the Ann Wickman Center, the YMCA, trying to appeal to maybe a little bit more of the younger generation to try and come back or raise their family.
The footage will be edited together to create a roughly two-minute video, which, when finished, will be placed on the city's YouTube channel that will be set up. Social media will also help blast the message out. Atlantic will be one of the first towns to be on the Iowa Economic Development Authority's website, or IEDA, as part of a national media campaign to draw more people to the state. Our video will be different than others to be featured.
A lot of them are interviewing the CEOs and things like that. Ours is not going to be that sort of video. It's more of an... It's a voiceover and more just showing what we have here.
And taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning, Jeffrey L. Bradley, age 51, of Manila, died September 17th. Funeral services for Jeffrey Bradley will be tonight at 7 o'clock at Odie Funeral Home in Manila. Pam Straka, age 63, of Atlantic, died October 2nd at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Funeral services for Pam Straka will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Jay Becker, age 61, of Yakima, Washington, died July the 9th. A celebration of life graveside service for Jay Becker will be Saturday at 11:30 in the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Dennis Eilenstein, age 69, of Kansas and formerly of the Walnut and Avoca areas, died August 22nd. A gathering for Dennis Eilenstein will be in the Oaklawn Cemetery this Saturday at 11:30, with services at noon. Rochelle Bruns, age 51, of Elkhorn, died October 1st. A celebration of life for Rochelle Bruns will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at Exira EHK Spartan Football Field in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has arrangements. Scott Backhouse, age 41, of Georgia and formerly of Manila, died August 28th. A memorial visitation for Scott Backhouse will be held Saturday from 4 until 7 p.m. at the Memorial Hall in Manila, with Odie Funeral Home of Manila in charge of arrangements. Norman Paulson, age 86, who was formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday in Omaha. Graveside services with military honors for Norman Paulson will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock in the Evergreen Cemetery at Anita. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Charlie Hare, age 69, of Greenfield, died Sunday in Des Moines. Per his wishes, no services will be held for Charlie Hare. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. And Vivian Golly, age 104, Bridgewater, died Tuesday in Corning. Funeral services for Vivian Golly are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.